Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to tell you real quickly about my good friends at Foley Mechanical. If you are having any HVAC system issues, call Foley Mechanical. We did. Dan Foley himself came out, dealt with us directly. He owns 100% of the company, not a franchise. It's not some big private equity firm. He controls the quality from the equipment to the people he hires, his team. They are professional. They are skilled. They are really smart. Foley Mechanical is full service heating, air conditioning, hot water, and boilers, and they're the go-to for older homes with radiator heat, a real specialty. They work across the DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia, and they proudly install Amana HVAC equipment. If your HVAC system needs help, I promise you, you won't go wrong reaching out to Foley Mechanical. If you want it done it right, just call Dan Foley at Foley Mechanical or go to foleymechanical.com and tell Dan that I sent you. All right, joining me right now from CBSSports.com is Brian DiArdo. We've had Brian on the show several times before. Love having him on. And he's actually, written about the Ryder Cup. We'll get to the NFL talk. We'll get to our team and some of the big games this weekend. I'm assuming you're a golf guy. You wrote about the Ryder Cup this week. What's the best part of the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black, in New York, on Long Island? What are you looking forward to the most?
Well, it's always good to be on with you. I am a golfer, a competent at best one, but I do try to play. And yeah, I'm fired up for the Ryder Cup. And you mentioned that it's on American soil. It's insane to me the advantage that plays in the Ryder Cup. I think the last time the U.S. won in Europe's soil was 1993. Yeah. And in recent years, Europe is the only team to win on the other team's soil as the visiting team. So for whatever reason, home field advantage is major in the Ryder Cup. But I think for me, obviously, the main headlines are, Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy, and then Rory's beef with DeChambeau and vice versa, which is super interesting. I think it stems from a lot of things, but I specifically remember the Masters where they were teamed up for the last day, and DeChambeau apparently was upset that Rory didn't want to talk to him.
I'd
love to hear more about that when you get a second. But I think to me, what I'm more interested in is the role players, like Tommy Fleetwood, for example, against a Ludwig Åberg. And that's where I think the U.S., along with it being in New York on our soil, gives them the best chance to win. I just think they have the better role players. Fleetwood's had an amazing season. Russell Hensley, I think he won the Arnold Palmer invite in the spring. So, I think the depth of the American team is the reason why I'll pick them to win this one. But, yeah, it should be a really, really thrilling couple of days of golf.
Not that Whistling Straits and Hazeltine weren't great venues, but this may be the most raucous golf event we have ever seen. To play this at Bethpage Black, for those of you that don't know, first of all, it's a public course, an expensive public course, and you got to get there very early to get on it. But to have the New York crowd as part of this scene, I mean, it is going to be rowdy from the jump. Can't wait to see that part of it. You always get that in the Ryder Cup, but this may be on steroids this weekend.
No, That's an amazing point. I didn't know it was public, which, hey, we all know. Anybody that golfs, there's a difference between public and private. But I think you nailed it, though. I think for the Ryder Cup and for the environment that it brings out, the competition element that it brings out, I think being in New York on a public course really is going to bring that out. And so, like, for example, like Tyrell Hatton, an emotional golfer. There's some emotional golfers that would be partaking in this. And no, I agree. I think it's going to be some great entertainment, not even just for the hardcore golf fan. I think for any fan of sports, it's something to watch.
Yeah. And of course, Ryder Cup always takes place during football and football weekends. And the college football slate's amazing on Saturday. And we got some pretty good games on Sunday as well. I want to start, though, with something that you wrote about. And we mentioned on the show earlier this week, Drew Brees, who, by the way, you agree, first ballot, right?
Oh, no doubt.
He and Fitzgerald are locks to be in first ballot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He called the Eagles' offense boring. I think a lot of people would call the Eagles boring offensively. Is it, and does it matter?
It's boring, yeah. Does it matter? I don't think at this point, and it's going to take a team that's good enough, obviously, to stop them. Like, I think where you could be alarmed if you're an Eagles fan, and as Commanders fans, your listeners would know this, the deep ball, the over-the-top passes that Hurts was able to complete is what really, I think, put them, really got them going and springboarded them to that win over the Commanders in the NFC title game. Like, that is, they're devoid of that weapon this season for whatever reason, or for, I don't know how defenses are doing it. They're taking that element of the Eagles game away. They're forcing them to gain yards in chunks and to make their drives in chunks. And so the Eagles are doing that. They're accepting that, the challenge. They're doing it. They obviously are aided by the tush push, which I'm sure, NFL, I don't know if any of the eight owners that voted to keep it are regretting their decision, or the 10 voters, I guess, that kept it in. They have to be, and there's no way that play survives after the first couple of weeks.
Totally
of the
agree.
Season. There's no way. But I think it matters when they finally face a team in the playoffs that can stop it. Yeah, and that, and I do think eventually they're gonna. You can't live all season not being able to stretch the ball down the field, and I don't understand how and why they're not getting it done. Like I said, I don't even care if teams are playing too high safety. I think if once they get Saquon going, that's going to open up everything else. But that's the most surprising element of the Eagles' offense to me, is that he has not been going. He has not been successful. But I think the biggest thing that surprises me, though, about Breeze's comments is I thought he'd give Hurts a little bit more credit. Like, the monster numbers aren't there, but 7 touchdowns this season, 4 rushing, no interceptions, taking care of the ball, 71% completion percentage. Like, I think Jalen Hurts deserves a lot more credit for him continuously playing well, despite the fact they don't have a running game and teams are taking away that deep threat.
Yeah, I think when you see what they did in the second half, you say, well, why can't you do that more often and not end up having all of these close games? Because they certainly have a roster that says they should win double-digit games, and they should win several of them by double digits. But they seem to not do that. But, you're right about Jalen Hurts. I think this is an issue with the way a lot of NFL fans view him, and it sounds like Drew Brees views in the same way, and yet when he has to do the spectacular, he has shown that he's totally capable of doing it in the biggest moments.
That's exactly right, and I love his demeanor. He really is an old soul, and you hear that a lot. I got a friend that works on the Eagles beat. He tells me that all the time, and like, I love the mic that was picked up. I think it was Chris Jones when they beat the Chiefs was screaming over, "You guys didn't even get 100 passing yards," and Hurts, and I won't use all the words that he said since we're on the air, but he basically said, "Hey, calm down, we're going to win this game," and I really do love his demeanor. He really is all about winning. That's paramount to him. I know everybody likes to think that their favorite players believe that, but it's not the case, unfortunately, with all of them. But yeah, his priorities are in the right place. And like you said, like, he's very calm. The game has really slowed down for him. He always seems to make the right play. And Yeah, I think he's outrageously underrated. And at this point in the season, for every NFL team, I mean, it's not going to be pretty. And I do think in today's NFL, where training camps are limited, you know, the amount of practices they have, the amount of padded practices they have,
right.
You know, I think the first month of the season is less about how good you look and more about the win-loss column and stacking wins while you're still learning the cohesiveness of your team.
Great point. A basketball coach in this town for the Wizards, Eddie Jordan, once used the phrase, "We're just harvesting our nuts right now." And it was because they were banged up. It was the middle of the season, and we just were getting wins. We don't have to be good now, but when we get good, we have to be able to take advantage of it. And that's essentially what you're saying, and I totally agree with it. I will say this one thing about the Rams game on Sunday, the Eagles-Rams game. For people that like hesitate on A.J. Brown whenever they do because he's not being targeted or he's not having the big numbers, it's kind of almost the same as the Jalen Hurts conversation, although I think A.J. Brown is truly an elite wide receiver, and he proved it in that second half against the Rams. It's interesting, though. He'll go games with two or three targets and a catch, but when the game's on the line, he proves himself to be maybe not in the Jefferson Chase category, Brian, but at the top of the next category.
Going to throw you a name that's really old, Lynn Swann. And yeah. The reason why I mentioned Lynn Swann, there were games where he would have one or two catches, right? I think for his career, he only averaged like two catches a game or
right.
something, but would make the big timely catches that you need. And that, you know, and obviously a lot of Swan's lack of targets was the era he played in. But the point is, again, the definition of a great receiver, to your point, even in the year 2025, where some guys get targeted 15 times a game, it's not all about that. It's about when your number's called, can you deliver, can you step up? And yeah, to your point, he's shown it time and time again. And again, like I said, obviously Saquon Barkley running for 2K last year was really the catalyst of that offense.
Yeah.
But what put them over the top was that Hurts deep pass to A.J. Brown. And I remember, again, watching that Commanders game. I go, if they can connect on those, this game could get out of hand. And that's what happened because of that element. But no, I'm with you 100%.
There was a blatant hold missed on that call on Barkley, by the way, on that play.
There was. As you should mention. You should mention that. Absolutely,
yeah.
There was. But you know, I agree with you. And I think in today's game, we get so tied up in the stats, right? And like, I'll give you a quick comp. That's modern day. You know, Jamar Chase, I'm in Ohio. So many people love Jamar Chase. He fumbles a lot. He doesn't have the greatest of hands, but his numbers are incredible. But for me, I'd rather have A.J. Brown because when the game's on the line, he's proven to be the more reliable guy.
Yeah, you know, the Lynn Swann comp, I mean, they're stylistically, they were opposites. You
sure,
know, Swann
right.
was graceful, and A.J. Brown is a physically overpowering receiver,
right.
You know, where, but yeah, and my God, if the rules had been different in the 70s, Lynn Swann would have more eggs in his head for starters, but would have had unbelievable numbers as part of that stalwart Swann Pittsburgh era. We're talking to Brian Diardo at Brian Diardo on X on Twitter. He writes, covers the league for CBS Sports. So I've talked a little bit about this and I want your opinion. The NFC is now 9-3 head up against the AFC. It is loaded. I thought there was a chance coming in that it was loaded in terms of the depth of it compared to the AFC. What do you make about the NFC? Last year, the 7 seed was 11-6. I know it's early, but do you see a similar kind of playoff format? You know, 6 and 7 seeds needing, you know, no less than 10 wins to even have a chance?
No, yeah, and as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, what really is the common denominator with the NFC? Why do they seem to be the deeper and better conference than the AFC? I think it's as simple as coaching. There's better coaches in the NFC. Look at what Seattle's doing with their coaches, and I've been a big Kevin O'Connell fan for a long time. Dan Quinn's obviously proven to be a very good head coach as well. Dan Quinn with the Lions. I just think, you know, Ben Johnson now getting his chance with Detroit or Chicago, even though they're not going to be, I don't think, relevant as far as making
yeah,
the playoffs.
Kyle LaFleur, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The coaching is just better.
Yeah.
And I think, again, in today's NFL, when practices are limited, when you've got all these injuries and you've got to have makeshift, you've got to have Mac Jones starting at quarterback for you, I think having, you know, being, you know, having the continuity of a good head coach and who puts together a good coaching staff is paramount. But no, I'm with you 100%. And so, like, I'll give you an example of this weekend, a game I'm excited to see. Is Minnesota-Pittsburgh, because I think, again, those are two probably, you know, teams that you wouldn't say either are the front runner in either conference, but that's a good matchup for me to see, okay, which conference really is the better one? Because I think, and those are two good examples, two relatively evenly matched teams, both dealing with some injuries. Obviously, the Vikings have the quarterback injury, so that does give the Steelers somewhat of an edge. But again, though, I think as far as depth, talent on both sides of the conference, or on either side of the conference, I think that's a good example of, all right, like, which conference really might have the best teams. I do think there's better quarterback play still in the NFC overall, or AFC. But no, I think roster-wise, it is the NFC. And yeah, no, I think there's going to be potentially a 10-win team on the NFC side that does not make the playoffs.
Seattle was that team last year. They played a night against Arizona. I actually think it's a sneaky, really good game. I mean, I think we've seen Seattle-Arizona on Thursday night so much in recent years, and it's been like 6-3 or 12-10 or whatever. But I'm wondering if you think, which some people do, that Seattle might be for real.
Yeah, like, and I picked Arizona last week. I'm not picking them anymore. Like, they keep proving me wrong. But, like, no, I mean, and I watched the Seattle-Pittsburgh game. They came in and stomped them. And you know, Kenneth Walker, I think I slept on him because of his injuries the last couple of years. I was kind of out on him. But, when that guy's healthy, he's a closer. Good. I mean, I'm not saying he's Marshawn Lynch or anything. And again, I know you love John Riggins just like I do. Man, when you've got a thoroughbred power running back that can close out games when you get the lead. And again, I was skeptical of all the moves Seattle made, like with Sam Darnold. Is this going to work out? But again, though, when you've got a thoroughbred like that with Walker, all you've got to do is get the lead. And you've got a defense that's opportunistic, that forces turnovers, that puts pressure on the quarterback, that makes you one-dimensional because they take away running games. Like, yeah, I was loud wrong on Seattle, but I'm quickly going to grab the Kool-Aid that I should have drank in the summer. I'll drink it now because, yeah, I absolutely think they're for real. And I think now, as far as that division, I mean, how long can the Niners win with all the injuries they continuously have, with Bosa now being out for the year?
Devastating.
It is, right. And when you look at Arizona, James Conner's now out for the year.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think they're a legitimate factor in the NFC for sure.
I mean, I personally think the Rams, actually, given the health in San Francisco, have the best roster. The key is Stafford, you know, staying healthy in that division.
Yeah, no, I agree, too. Yeah, and also, too, you know, and this is where with like, again, any team that's got a quarterback with lack of mobility, you know, I know the Rams did win with Stafford, you know, a couple years ago, but I think the league is more and more turning into, like, you've got to have a mobile quarterback. It just creates so many mismatches for you. Look at Washington with Jaden Daniels. Like, obviously, his passing last year was historic for a rookie and a huge reason why they got to the NFC title game. But you can't deny his running ability and how that creates so many more mismatches for an offense. And I do wonder with Stafford, along with just the health, like, you know, Eagles-Rams. How many third downs can the Eagles convert just because they have that extra dimension with Jalen Hurts or the tush push? Like, the Steelers are scared to death throwing a quarterback sneak because they've got a 41-year-old quarterback. Like, Tomlin denied that this week when he was asked about why they won't run sneaks. Well, that's why. We all know. So I do think with the Rams, like, there's just something about them that makes me hesitant to really pick them though as a legit contender as far as getting to the Super Bowl.
So I'll get to Washington and your thoughts on them and our team here in a moment. But you're a Pittsburgh guy, you're a Steelers guy, and I actually, before the season started and during the whole offseason, said, if you watch the Jets last year, Aaron Rodgers was not the problem. They were a bad defensive team. Their kicker missed multiple kicks that would have won football games. And Aaron Rodgers throwing the football looked like Aaron Rodgers. I saw what Caleb, Johnson did in the kickoff in the Seattle game, which really was costly. Tell me what you've seen with Pittsburgh's offense through three games, and Rodgers in particular.
Yeah, that Johnson fumble brought me back to Barry Bananas Foster, 1990 against San Francisco. Google it, look it up. It's,
yeah, no,
it
I know, I know the play you're talking about, yeah.
Well, I know you do, but to your listeners, yeah, it was even crazier than the Caleb Johnson mistake.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing is, a team that, like a lot of teams, is still trying to figure it out on both sides of the ball. Like, I'm kind of surprised with – I thought Ramsey would have a much bigger impact, and I think his impact is still to be determined. I think maybe one of the issues is they're trying to move him around too much, and I think they thought that
Jalen
they would get
Ramsey
more –
Jalen talking about, just so everybody's
yes,
clear.
Yes, yeah. That correct, right. And I think a big issue is Deshaun Elliott getting hurt, who shares, you know, he's the strong safety, was supposed to, and Minka Fitzpatrick's replacement, they still haven't found that. So I still think, like, that's a huge issue for them. But I do think against the Patriots, they kind of found their calling card on defense, which is forcing turnovers, right? They had five in that game. And as you know, not every turnover is created equally. Like, some of that was obviously the Patriots making mistakes, but more so, it was the Steelers forcing the turnovers, making good plays to jar the ball out. And so I think them looking for turnovers and Derek Harmon, the first-round pick back at defensive tackle, those are huge advancements for them on defense. Offensively, the biggest issue, and you're right, like Rodgers still has got that lightning-quick release. He still has that amazing, and I wonder when that will go away. Because obviously his physical skills outside of that will diminish. He's getting older. He's not as mobile anymore, obviously. But he still has that release. And how many more years will he have that? I don't see that going away anytime relatively soon. The biggest issue for them is the running game. And a lot of people look at those tackles and say they're the issue. A lot of it, though, unfortunately for them, is interior with Mason McCormick and Zach Frazier, two second-year guys that had really good rookie seasons, but it hasn't panned out so far. The issue, biggest issue with Frazier is he gets pushed off the ball a lot. He's undersized, and he doesn't have the quickness to get off the ball. He's a former wrestler, so he has the strength, but so far he's still getting pushed off the ball. So, like for this game, for example, they got to get that running game going. If they can't, that could be a huge issue against the Minnesota defense with Brian Flores that really likes to put pressure on the quarterback.
All right, we're talking to Brian Diardo from CBS Sports. So from, you know, a league perspective, you cover the league. What does Washington look like to you through three games? They're clearly banged up. There's a chance Jaden could go Sunday. I would lean in the direction of probably not. I think Terry McLaurin's probably out Sunday. We'll know more this afternoon. But what do they look like to you through 3 weeks?
Well, first, I'm with you. If it's a 50-50, you don't play him right now. There's not a lot of reason to. It's so early in the season still. And against a team like Atlanta that's 1-2 and that they're firing assistant coaches, they're moving offensive coordinators from the booth, like they're desperate. I mean, Atlanta's desperate. And so, no, I wouldn't risk it at all. And the way Mariota played last week, like, no, you run him out again, you play him again. And if there's any question about Daniel's health, but regarding the entire team, this is kind of what I thought would be. It's going to be tougher sledding for them this season. They're not going to sneak up on anyone. There's a lot more tape out on Daniels. And then when you factor in the McLaurin holdout where he's not getting the practice with the guys in the summer, even though he's a veteran and he's no secret to that team. I just thought that there was a lot there that made you wonder how good they'd be this season. I still absolutely think they're a playoff team. But yeah, then, they obviously lose Eckler. There's those things as well, which obviously nobody can account for that. But I think the biggest thing for me is that defense isn't doing more to help the offense. Like, they don't have any interceptions yet. That's a huge thing. You've got to be – no takeaways. And that's a huge issue. I think for the offense, though, the biggest thing is they've got to get better on third down. They're 21st on third down. They're not – too many possession downs. They're not winning. But I do still – I mean, they're first in the league in rushing yards per carry, which is awesome, even without Eckler. So I think for Washington, it's leaning into that running game. I still think they're a super well-coached team. I still think they've got a lot of weapons on both sides of the ball. So I do think they'll be fine. But this is a big game for them on Sunday, for both teams. As I alluded to, Atlanta's desperate. I mean, they really are. I mean, their passing game is anemic as well. And that's where I really do believe. I think Washington, even if Daniels doesn't play – with Mariota, I think they have the better quarterback in this game. I think Marcus Mariota is better than Michael Penix. He's more accurate. He knows how to run an offense better. Penix eventually could be a better pro, but right now I would take Mariota for sure.
You know, I am curious because I'm a big Kirk Cousins guy from his time here. I think they're smart not to make the move. They drafted this guy. They put him in there at 7 starts. I think Penix Jr.'s got a lot of talent. But we know how this league goes. If he has another terrible game, do you think Raheem pulls him next week or the week after if he doesn't get out of the funk that he's in?
the biggest issue with them is, yeah, I mean, they've got a coaching staff that's coaching for their livelihood in Atlanta with a quarterback that's not proven. I mean, I'd make the move sooner rather than later. And to your point, is that the right decision long-term? Absolutely not. But that's the issue. That's the conflict when and that's the best, that's the best part about what Washington had was.
Yes. New coaching staff, Dan new quarterback.
Quinn. Yes. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and the Giants I know that's easier are in a bad spot.
They are. Yeah, their Giants are in a bad spot. The Atlanta's in a bad spot. But that's what you have to do. And marry the two together. Be joined at the hip. There's no fear of losing jobs and job security. I mean, honestly, Atlanta should do it this weekend, to be honest. Like, this lease should be as short as possible, especially when you've got Washington with the quarterback question marks. Like, this is a game that you could steal from a team that's clearly better than you. But no, I think that I agree with you. I think if they lose this game, it's you got to do whatever you can to save the season. And if that means temporarily shelving Penix, then so be it.
Who's got a better chance of recovering off a loss Sunday, the Ravens or the Chiefs?
I think Baltimore. I think Baltimore is the craziest thing about Baltimore is, well, I'm going to stay with Baltimore, but I think it's because of the talent of Lamar Jackson. But I will say, I think the Chiefs will win, but I think Baltimore, like, they've got an epidemic with turning the ball over. And like, when I saw Derrick Henry fumble on a Monday night, it looked like a guy that has a case of the yips. Like, he doesn't understand why he's fumbling the ball. And to me, that's clearly alarming because this is a guy that has not had issues with turning the ball over forever. But all of a sudden, yeah, he can't hold on to the ball. And they continuously, and this is a several years issue, make mistakes at critical moments. They're the Greg Norman of the NFL. Like, they just make mistakes when you think they've got the game in the bag. I think long-term, though, I like the Chiefs, like, long-term to pull themselves out of this and to get their season turned around because their defense is better. They just are. It's a better defense. They've got Xavier Worthy coming back. I've been very wishy-washy for the last minute or so. I'm going to change my opinion and go to the Chiefs.
Okay.
Just because I think I am. I'm being very wishy-washy on the air with you, which makes for terrible radio. But I'm going to save it and go with the Chiefs because they have a better defense.
Yeah.
And they've got Xavier Worthy coming back. They're off. Their running game, though, is still terrible, which is why long-term they're not a threat either in the AFC.
I would say, let me just tell you, the reason I thought your answer was spot on the first go-around before you got wishy-washy and changed is the Ravens can be 1-3 and still be very much in their division race with Cincinnati, who we know without Burrow is not going to be there, and Pittsburgh's still a little bit iffy, whereas the Chargers, you know, they're 3-0 with three division wins. So if the Chiefs are 1-3, that's a hill to climb. But we'll see. Give me just, you know, a fake or for real on the following teams. Indy.
Fake. As far as they might make the playoffs, but they're no threat of being a Super Bowl contender. Fake.
Chargers.
I'll say for real, but I still put them under Buffalo, absolutely. But they're real. I think they're for real.
What about Tampa?
For real, but like not a Super Bowl contender, like maybe NFC Championship game. Closer than the other ones that you said. So I guess I'll say for real as well for them.
All right. The only reason I'm asking you about this team is because 2 weeks ago, when they crushed our team on Thursday Night Football, everybody said best defense, maybe the best team in the league. And then they lost to actually maybe the best defensive team in Cleveland. But the Packers, you know, and I'm talking about Super Bowl contention, fake or for real?
No, they're for real. I think so too. I think they just stubbed their toe. I think they overlooked the Browns and appreciated obviously what Myles Garrett can do. Their receiving corps is not good though, and they're suffering from the same epidemic a lot of teams are, which is rookie skill players have not really panned out yet so far this season. I mean, theirs hasn't. We mentioned Caleb Johnson earlier. There's other examples
Genty
of that around the league. There's just no, right. And even defensively, too. I mean, Atlanta's pass rushers that they got in the first couple picks combined 1.5 sacks so far this season. So it's not just offensively. I mean, so far this rookie class is not really impressed.
Except for the guy in Cleveland, Mason Graham, who's been outstanding. And that's one of the reasons their defense is really good.
Right.
He's been phenomenal. But, yeah, you're right for the most part. about the other rookies. I always love having you on. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the football and the golf this weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Yep. Brian DiArdo, everybody, from CBS Sports. All right. We'll do an NFL power rankings on Thursday here, heading into a football weekend when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were just talking about Paul Thomas Anderson's new movie is out, the one with Leo, One Battle After Another. It's in movie theaters today. That's the kind of movie I think you want to see in the theater. Paul Thomas Anderson would certainly be in my top five of all-time movie directors. Yeah, There Will Be Blood, Boogie Nights, the list goes on and on. All right, top five, NFL teams. This is not easy right now. I think one and two are easy, whatever order you want to have them in. I'll give you my number five through number one, and then Max will give you his. So I've got the Packers at 2-1 still in my top five. I saw what I saw 2 weeks ago tonight, and I can't get that out of my head. That is a talented football team, especially on defense. And you know, it happens in the NFL, you know, especially if you play a team on their home field and that team is dominant on one side of the ball, whichever side of the ball it is. Cleveland is a dominant defensive football team, and they forced Green Bay into a mistake. If Jordan Love doesn't throw the pick deep in his own territory late in the fourth quarter, the Packers are sitting here at 3-0. I've got the Packers. I just think they are one of the best five teams in the league. I've got them at five. I've got the Lions at four. That was impressive, okay? Going in to Baltimore and playing the way they did and winning the game the way they did in the trenches against Baltimore. I know there were injuries for Baltimore up front defensively. I get that, but they rushed for 224 yards. Jared Goff barely had the ball hit the ground. They dominated. The final score was 38-30. The Ravens scored late in that game. It was a great football game, don't get me wrong. But, man, Detroit, after week one, head fake week one, they're still really good on offense. I've got the Lions at four. I've got the Rams at three. They lost to the Eagles in a game in which they had a 19-point lead. They had a field goal lined up to win the game, and it was blocked on blocked field goal day last Sunday. I still think the Rams are a really good football team, and as they were building a 26-7 lead, I was thinking I might have the Rams number one in my power rankings this week. They are really, really good on defense. It's just that Jalen Hurts to A.J. Brown was just better at the end. I think we saw two of the best three teams in the NFL face off at the link last Sunday. I've got the Rams at three. I've got Philadelphia at two. You know, they're 3-0, and all they do is win, but 24-20 over the Cowboys, they couldn't light up that Cowboy defense like everybody else has. The Chiefs, you know, barely hanging on, pushing their way to a three-point win, down 19 to beat the Rams. So I've got them at two, even though they are the defending champs. This is a new season. And number one, I've got Buffalo They were in a dogfight. Don't make no mistake about it with the Dolphins on Thursday Night Football. That was a good football game. That football game's 21-21 in the fourth quarter, 28-21 with the Dolphins driving late and then Tua threw the pick. I've got Buffalo, though, at number one. That gives me four NFC teams in my top five. I didn't put the Chargers in there. I didn't put Indy in there. Yeah, that's my top five. Go ahead, Max. What's yours?
So I also have four NFC teams. They're a little bit different than yours. At number five, I'm going to start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, you love Tampa.
I do love Tampa.
And they're 3-0 in all three games in the final minute. They've won these games. Final 30 seconds.
Yeah, they've all been incredibly close, and it's kind of looking like kind of how the Commanders finished out games last year, just getting away by the skin of their teeth, and they got to the NFC Championship game. So who knows how far the Bucs can go with this type of luck. At number four, I have the Detroit Lions. They showed out against a very injured Ravens team, but at the same time, it was a convincing physical win, just bullying them in the trenches, really. So the Lions are at four for me. Packers at three. Like you said, I can't deny what I saw on Thursday night against our team. The Browns defense is just elite of elite. Miles Garrett, nobody's stopping him. Packers number three, Eagles two. The Chiefs devil magic has transferred, and apparently it is to the team I detest the most, which means this might be a rough year for me.
What is the Chiefs devil magic? I'm not familiar with that.
So last year, where the Chiefs were winning games that they weren't really supposed to, remember when they played the Broncos and won on that last second field goal?
Had the blocked field goal, yeah.
Yeah, so they keep... just transferred over. So from last year to this year, the Eagles ripped
it right
off. Well,
does that mean the
Eagles
are going to win 15 games and make it to the Super Bowl?
Maybe, man. Lose? Maybe. I hoped if they do win 15 games, I'd pray to God they lose. But that's what the playoffs are for. Okay. We'll find out. Number one, unquestionable, Buffalo, Josh Allen. They, with a cake schedule, cake division, I think that they're so far... they're the team to beat right now. You can't argue against Buffalo for me.
Yeah, you know, your Buccaneers, which you picked to get to the NFC Championship game and be the one seed, by the way, in
that
the
I
NFC
did.
Playoffs this year, and they're 3-0. Their next four games, Eagles at home this week without Mike Evans.
Tough.
At Seattle without Mike Evans. 49ers at home, probably without Mike Evans. And then they might get Mike Evans back for at Detroit. I mean, those are their next four games. They also have the Bills on the schedule, the Rams on the schedule. They don't get anything easy until late in the year.
Until December,
In division. But they've gotten off to a really good start, and we'll see. I mean, Baker Mayfield's been sensational.
A dog, man.
Do they get Chris Godwin back anytime soon?
I'm not sure on his timetable.
Because if Evans is out and Godwin's back, that's huge for them.
He's practicing right now. Chris Godwin and Tristan Wirfs nearing a return, according to Tampa Bay Bucks or Buccaneers.com.
The Eagles are 3.5-point favorites at Raymond James Sunday. Another Sunday, we're in that 1 o'clock window. With all the primetime games we have this year, we've started off with 3 1-o'clockers in the first four games, and you got Eagles Bucks also in that 1 o'clock window. Good NFL Sunday too, starting with our first Sunday morning game this year, Vikings Steelers in Dublin. That would be fun to see a game there. Two good fan bases for that, too. The Steelers fan base in particular, because wasn't, I believe, ownership the ambassador to Ireland?
It sounds right to me. I believe I've heard that before.
I'm looking that up. Steelers, Ireland ambassadors. I'll have the answer for you when we come back. I do want to mention that all of our NFL conversation here on the show is brought to you by our good friends at Paramount. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between Washington and Atlanta. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. today.
All right. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is September 25th. It is Thursday, not Wednesday. Here's what's happening around the world of DC sports. The Nats, they win 4-3 over the Atlanta Braves last night. Andrew Alvarez earned the start, but Mitch Parker comes away being credited with the win. Jose Ferrer came in, earned the save. James Woods sets the bar pretty high after he reached 30 home runs for the first time in his MLB career. The Nats, they are off tonight. They will close out their season at home in a weekend series versus the Chicago White Sox tonight. The Caps get going in a preseason matchup versus the Philadelphia Flyers from Giant Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Charlie Lindgren slated to get the start. Puck drops at 7 p.m. That'll be right here on the Team 980. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's Office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Gen Z, love, Kevin, that you love Paul Thomas Anderson movies. His best is The Master. Looking forward to seeing the new one, but The Master tops the list. The Master was great. I think There Will Be Blood would be my number one of Paul Thomas Anderson movies. The Master was awesome. Joaquin Phoenix and Amy Adams and what's-his-face, you know, who passed away. This is happening more and more to me. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Great movie. There Will Be Blood is one of Daniel Day-Lewis's best. That was such a great movie, and that's another one of those where whenever it's on, it's hard to get off it. I am looking forward to this, though. I've heard good things about it. We'll see. It's out in theaters today. One battle after another. Leo's in it. Sean Penn's in it. Who else? Let me pull up the list. Benicio del Toro's in it. That's not a bad start to this flick. This is a highly anticipated movie debut. So I don't know if I'll see it in the theaters. I talk a big game when it comes to going to the movie theater to see a movie, but I feel like I never actually fulfill that desire. It's just hard. You know, when are you going to do it? Especially during football season. But it's a rainy day. There are late afternoon showings for anybody that has that flexibility in their schedule. I don't really have that much flexibility. I got to do a podcast, although we did it this morning. So that's good, too. All right. We have some Joe Witt sound to play for you. So Joe Witt Jr. and Cliff Kingsbury on Coordinator Day are talking. But before I get to that, I wanted to read to you what defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich in Atlanta said about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I saw Nikki tweeted this out, and I thought it was interesting and worth reading. This is Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich. Remember, he was briefly the Jets head coach when they had an opening and was the temporary coach there for a while, interim coach there for a while. He said about Cliff Kingsbury's offense, so it's a really unique game because it's just that the offense is so voluminous. That's a good word. that there's so much stuff. There's so many variations of zone read and bypass zone read. There's a million different counter offensive tackle gap schemes and a lot of pass game to go with it. So preparing for all this stuff can get a little overwhelming. But the beauty of it is that there is an element of once you're through the first quarter, you've got a decent idea about how they're attacking you. It's just trying to compartmentalize that information and just understand how we're being attacked today, and then you have to adjust accordingly. It's an interesting quote because I think it says he gives you so much to prepare for, and that makes it so hard. But he also says once you've figured it out, it's what they're going to do. So you just adjust to what they're going to do. There was a follow-up question that was asked. The question was on whether the voluminous offense of Washington is more of the breadth of different things that they can throw at you or the variety of the few things they throw at you but looks different every season. And he just said, look, it's really both because they've got a drop back game that's nasty. They've got a quick game. They've got RPOs. They've got obviously a run game that's very... They have every run known to man. They run them at a high level. They've got a good mindset about them. You can tell it's not just about X's and O's. There's a real style of play to their offense. There's a real physicality, toughness, finish. I mean, they're a difficult offense to contain. In the last whatever 18 months, nobody's held them for less than 18 points. And that's saying something in this league. They've had tremendous success, and we're going to have to play our best ball to contain them. All right, this was Joe Witt just moments ago on putting quarterbacks in no-win situations.
Doing good. How you doing?
Doing good. Yeah. One play that really stood out, one of the Bobby Wagner sacks against the Raiders. It was a situation where Geno basically was left in a situation by the defense to take the sack or potentially gift wrap an interception to Jalen Holmes. I know that's probably one of the plays.
The one that he came free or the one that he had him in and he went down?
Bobby came free on that one. It was very quick.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with you.
To put a quarterback in a situation like that, obviously without the schematics of it, but like, what does it take from your unit to put a quarterback in a situation where literally there's no victory there?
Well, the thing – it starts with stopping the run. So once we knew that we could get them in known pass situations, okay, we were going to force them to make a decision on who they're going to put the back on. And on that play you're talking about, the back was supposed to block Bobby. He ran out and he aborted it, so we were free. So now to your point, that's a rookie running back. He made a mistake there. And so if we can stop the run and play the run, now we're putting them in known passing situations. Now we can sort of dictate on who the back is. He going to block Bobby? Is he going to block Uzi? Is he going to be on one of those big guys? They don't necessarily want to do that. So, but we have to stop the run, you know, and that's the most important thing, stopping the run to get into the known pass situations.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That's first time I've heard that, but they are doing such a much better job this year of stopping the run. That was the biggest concern I had coming into the year. Their rushing DVOA is fifth in the league behind Cleveland, Tampa, Seattle, and Detroit. Now, again, some of that is opponent, you know, dependent. Like they got the Giants who had a bad offensive line that day with no Andrew Thomas. They had a Raiders team that had a bad offensive line without their best starting guard in the lineup. You know, I think they did a decent job up front against Green Bay. They got torched more through the air. There was some pass rush pressure in that game. There was, you know, they didn't get, you know, shredded in the run game. It's improved because Kinlaw and Payne side by side are, you know, they're a legitimate force against the run. And I think Dorrance Armstrong is thriving because of that. He was thriving at the end of last year. Dorrance Armstrong had a great postseason, great end of last year. He is really coming into his own. They're good. Or let me just say, they're better, a lot better up front, it would appear, through three games. They get tested Sunday, though. Atlanta has an O-line, and they can run the football. And after not running it and getting away from some of their 12 personnel and running it a lot against the Panthers, they're going to test Washington. Bijan Robinson is going to get opportunities early in that game, I would think, because you don't want Penix to come out throwing the football to set up the run. But if they can stop the run, they got a really good chance against Penix with the way he's playing. All right, back tomorrow to preview the whole thing. Chris Russell's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.